In an ever-changed world, Life Changes Network presents a show about everything. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real-life journeys, as we as one strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is Radio Like You've Never Felt Before, with tonight's guest, veteran film and event producer and founder of the Bhakti Fest and Leaders Causing Leaders, Kenneth Schwenker. And now your host, our MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thanks, Mark, and happy Memorial Day to you and everybody. I actually feel funny saying happy Memorial Day, being that Memorial Day is what it is. But we say it, it's traditional, so there it is. But before we get into that, I also want to say I'm grateful to have Kenneth on the show today. You know, Kenneth is doing some really interesting things. On the one hand, with Leaders Causing Leaders, reminding us who we are, and we'll talk more about that. And also with One Love Fest, not only reminding us who we are, but reminding us to connect with our hearts. And so today is Memorial Day. It's a great day to connect with our hearts, actually. And it's a day that traditionally men and women are honored who have served in the United States Armed Forces. A lot of people go to cemeteries and put American flags on graves. And some people I know use this for a party day, and some people use it for a day to remember other dead as well. And people celebrate or people take the occasion to do different things on this particular day. I myself had a day that sounded like this, which was quite interesting. In a nutshell, I spent the first half of my day, mainly all morning, helping a friend of mine who broke her arm. And so being there for her and making sure she's taken care of and made her some food, et cetera, et cetera, and did that. And then most of the afternoon I spent with two lovely ladies at their beautiful home here in Los Angeles, just having a great time drinking margaritas, sitting in the sun, laughing and joking around. Ironically, though, the main reason I went is because to see them is because their mother is dying. And their mother is at home, and I've known their mother for maybe 16, 17 years. And her mother used to cook for their mother used to cook for me, and we've shared a lot of good times, a lot of laughs together, and she loved me, and I still loves me, and I love her. And so I went and got a couple dozen roses, and I went to see them, and I kissed their mother on the cheek, and she kissed me back, and then she kissed my hand, and so I kissed her hand right back. And I thought it was interesting, because they think it's going to be a matter of days that she will no longer be with us. And she's had a good life and a full life, and she's probably ready to go. So then the three of us, the ladies and I, sat outside, and like I said, we laughed and we told stories and drank margaritas and ate chips and salsa and had a really great time, all the while the mother was inside. And so on two other occasions, we went back in and made sure she was okay and then hugged her and held her hand. And then I kissed her again. She kissed my hand again. I kissed her hand again, and I said goodbye because I had to get ready for the show. And I was thinking, what an interesting thing to do on Memorial Day. And what it reminded me of is I had a relative who gave my parents a lot of grief in their life. And then finally, in the last maybe 7 years of my dad's life, that relative stopped calling and stopped coming over, which was probably for the better, because they would just give my parents grief every time this particular relative was over. But I remember I was a little bit more vocal about certain things when I was a little younger. And when my father passed, that relative called. And my mother answered the phone and was very polite to this relative. But I yelled over my mother's speaking, "Tell him you don't call people when they die. You call them when they're alive. And you be nice to them." And so I thought of that today. As this lady is passing, I thought, now's the time to spend time with her. Not to go see her. Yes, I can go see her at the grave, or yes, I can go see her in a box. But this is the time when she's alive. And so how perfect that this was Memorial Day, that on the one hand, we're remembering people that died. But I just wondered, how often do we remember people that are living? In my case, one person was about to die, and the other one, thankfully, hopefully, will live for many, many more years. And I got to spend time with both of them. And to me, that is a very memorable and special Memorial Day. So I suppose I can say happy Memorial Day. And then to all those who have lost men and women, children and sons and daughters and nieces and nephews and brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers in any of the wars or in any civil duty, or for anybody who has lost anybody that they loved, which is everybody, I wish you the Memorial Day that brings you to your heart, and that you got to do what you felt you needed to and wanted to do today. And with that, we're going to talk about connecting with our hearts and connecting with the leader inside of us when we come back with Kenneth Schwenker. Right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays water systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays water systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Well, we're back, and I am Filippo, and our guest is Kenneth Schwenker. Actually, I said Kenneth Schwenker. I mean, he's Ken Schwenker. He's Kenneth Schwenker. I know him as both, and love him just the same, no matter what we call him. And he is a motion picture producer of over 30 films with some named talent. Actually, named talent. I know the named talent. Like in Evolution at DreamWorks, he had David Duchovny and Julian Moore and people like that. He is a veteran film producer, and having been around the film industry for over 15 years with more than 13 feature films under his belt, Ken has seen many of the ups and downs one must endure when pursuing a career in the film industry, which I think is really interesting, because how important is that in the real world. Ken has introduced numerous up-and-coming young actors to the big screen, including Uma Thurman in Kiss Daddy Goodnight, Portia de Rossi in American Intellectuals, and most recently Theo Pagonis in the yet-to-be-released Boys from Madrid. He is co-founder of the Bhakti Festival and founder of Leaders Causing Leaders and One Love Festival. Welcome, Kenneth Schwenker, to the show.
Hi, thank you.
A man of few words.
Yeah.
And that's our interview today.
Cool. Well, listen, I know we wanted to talk about Leaders Causing Leaders and One Love Fest. You had some words about, you know, your dad passing, and I have some stuff to say to that, if we can get into that for a second.
Please.
Because you said call when they're alive and not when they passed. And it just triggered a very powerful memory I had with my dad. And I had a rocky relationship for my whole life, and I was just kind of shut down from him. Although I talked to him every single weekend, one weekend I realized I was just very self-expressed, and I'm fine in my life, and like I was just like, wow, I'm really fine. And I said to myself, I should call my dad and let my dad know. I should just say, Dad, you know, I know that you love me and everything is good, and thank you for being there. And then this is Wednesday, so I said, well, I'll call him on the weekend the way I do. And the thought came to me to call him right now. Just call him right now. But it did. I was on the beach. I actually had my cell phone. I called my dad. I said, Dad, you know, I'm really, you know, you're really amazing. Thank you for being there. I know I've been shut down and just, you know, and he got it. We were like 15 minutes. We were just, I was bawling tears and expressed how much he was to me, you know. And so that coming weekend, that Sunday at 5 a.m, I got a call that my dad had passed on. And I was so grateful. Not complete with my dad when he was alive. It was so complete. It was just such a beautiful funeral, and I got to honor him, and it was just so great to reach out. So when you said, you know, to call people when they're alive before they pass, it really, really struck me. So thank you for mentioning that.
Thank you, Kenneth, for mentioning that, and I'm glad that caused that to come out for all of us to hear. That's powerful stuff, and it helps so many, because I know people that I've shared these kinds of stories with in the past have done what you said you did, and have been so grateful afterwards, because so many people live with regret, and that's not a good thing to live with.
Right. You can still get rid of the regret, but nothing like doing it live and just getting that complete. It's so powerful, yeah.
Exactly. Well, here's a fine example of you being vulnerable and sharing the story so that others can step up and do the right thing for themselves as well. I know we talked and we've talked about how it's come to you to want to bring people and help people be their own leaders. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's start off with what was the impetus for Leaders Causing Leaders?
Right. Leaders Causing Leaders came to me when I was co-founding the Bhakti Fest. It was just these words that came to me, and I knew I had to do an event called Leaders Causing Leaders. And I started putting the event together, and it came to me because I said to myself one day, who are our leaders? Like, who are the mentors that we look up to anymore?
Right.
Who are the people that we really can emulate, like the Martin Luther Kings and the Gandhis and the great people of the world who are real tangible people, not just, you know, people that are lived 1,000 or 2,000 years ago, but who's in our life today that we can say, wow. And I had a really hard time finding those names. We did, and that's what we did. And I formed Leaders Causing Leaders, and we had this huge event. And we just, at the end of the day, we had about 200 amazing speakers come with speakers and keynotes and workshops. And the whole idea was bring greatness together. Just bring the great people together and start sharing ideas with each other. And when I'm around great people, I feel elevated. I want to emulate myself to be like those people. And so that's one aspect of Leaders Causing Leaders. The other aspect is really that we're the leaders in the world. Like, who are the leaders? Because we're the leaders. The leaders out there aren't making sense. We're starting wars, destroying our environment, you know, screwing up the oceans and starting wars and all sorts of stuff. And it has to be that we're the leaders and we're the ones causing the stuff in the world. That's why we say it's leaders causing leaders, because it's who you're being in the world that is so powerful. And you don't have to be doing powerful stuff. You could just be being who you are, but being in integrity and doing a small gesture, and that will be so powerful. You'll cause someone else to step into their power. So it's really just causing leaders. So the causing is a very important word.
Absolutely. You know, Kenneth, I know we've spoken about this, and it just makes so much sense to me. Like you said, you know, the leaders are out there doing these things that don't make sense. And I heard recently somebody say, we have this expression that the emperor has no clothes. Well, it's no longer that the emperor has no clothes. It's like the emperor does not exist in the case of what they were talking about, or in the case of what you're saying is the emperor's gone mad or something. There's something wrong with the emperor.
I mean, the emperor is essentially, he's probably a puppet now. I mean, it's like,
right. Right.
Yeah. So that's a whole nother thing. Like where's the power coming from? Who's making those decisions for geoengineering and starting wars and stuff? Like, really, where does that come from? That's kind of a scary question.
It is a scary question, and yet what I like about where you went with it right away is that it's like, okay, if that's what the leader's doing, then, you know, the leader's going to have to do it without me. Let me find a leader that makes kind of sense to me, and let me awaken the leaders of tomorrow, in a sense. So you had to awaken some kind of leadership inside yourself. Now, obviously, as a producer, you use these skills for the film. And making a film, for those who don't know in the industry, is no small feat. A lot of moving parts. Better yet, a lot of moving actors. And that's a whole different thing in itself. A lot of beautiful stuff happens, but it's also very painstakingly and can be sometimes a difficult task. Are some of the skills that you used in making movies are those some of the skills that you're bringing over to these kinds of conferences?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, producing for me is. Someone said about me, like, I keep my eye on the ball. Like, the ball has to move down the field. No matter what's going on, you always got to keep that ball moving. And you got to keep your eye on the ball. And so whether it's a film or an event, it's like, you know, you're always under time versus money versus, you know, an end date. And so it's just constantly keeping present and being aware. And multitasking and just and delegating and getting all that stuff done in a certain time frame, really.
And it's a skill. And if you can do it in film, where you actually are also dealing with a lot of egos and emotions and not putting anybody down, it's inherent in the way things are done right now, right? So you're dealing with personalities and all of that. So when you come to an event like the Bhakti Festival or Leaders Causing Leaders or eventually One Love Festival, this isn't just like, oh, let's just all love each other. Like, there is major purpose here.
Right. Well, this year with Leaders Causing Leaders, we're really getting into really finding out people's concerns and finding out their strengths. And kind of getting into organizing who's doing what in the world and causing leaders. Like, the first couple of years have been finding our mentors, but now it's like, let's find what are the concerns of people and how can we empower you? That's really my main focus right now.
What are the concerns of people, like, out in the world right now?
Yeah, what concerns do people have? Is it the environment? Is it politics? Is it that our constitution has been shredded? Is it that we're screwing up the oceans? Those are the big things. It could be small things. So, you know, what are the concerns of people? And then how are we addressing that? Or how are we finding other people with those similar concerns that those people can start forming groups and getting, you know, powerful together, because there is power in numbers.
And so in conjunction with that is what do you do best with asking people that question? What can you bring to the table? What is your quality, your leadership? What is your talent?
You mean me? What do I do?
Yeah, no. I meant that's kind of what you're posing out there for people.
Oh, that's what we're asking. Yeah, of course. Yeah. We're finding out first, what are the concerns? And then what are your strengths? It's actually, we're putting together a program to find someone's core source being? Like, who are you? What are your concerns? And then who are you? And then how can we, you know, how can we move the ball down the field, really?
And, you know, that's really so important. It's, you know, when it comes to making a film, or when it comes to, like, you're talking about sports and moving a ball down a field, I mean, like, coaches will look at a player and see that they could kick well. So, oh, it's obvious they're the kicker. This one's a big guy and he can block. Okay, you're the blocker. You could catch well. Okay, so let's use you in this way. But so much of real life doesn't seem to work that way. It's like, you do this without even seeing if we are even qualified or care to do that.
Right.
And so companies have difficulty because of that, and you know, we're missing a boat when it comes to that. So this is one of the things I really like about Leaders Causing Leaders. What are some of the names that you've had, some of the leaders?
Oh, some of our speakers. I mean,
in
Stephen
the past,
Covey,
yeah.
Byron Katie, Jason Mraz, Marianne Williamson. Matthew and Chersey, who own Cafe Gratitude, are the founders. I don't have my list in front of me, but it's huge.
That's a great list already. Guru Singh on top of that.
Oh, Guru Singh, yes, phenomenal individual.
Yeah. We've had him on the show, actually. Thanks for you causing that.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it caused a great connection between him and I, both being singers and being interested in a lot of the same things. And so we've talked about what else we could do together. So there's an example. You said you don't always get to hear of what happens with people after they've come to an event. There's an example of something that potentially could come of because of us meeting at Leaders Causing Leaders.
Right. Yeah, and Guru Singh is... Guru Singh is very profound in his teachings. He'll take your spirituality and who you're being to a high level. And also Matthew and Tercy, who own Cafe Gratitude, these are people really living their word. They're very successful at what they do because, look, they're serving good organic food. But beyond that, it's this process that they have with all their employees. Everyone who comes to work, they get cleared. They get cleared so that when you come to work, you're present and you feel in a very safe, working, comfortable environment. And they spend a lot of money to do that, to clear people. Clearing is, we have distinctions in our leadership. I mean, one is being present, one is being transparent, being humble, having integrity, being a visionary, being a community builder, being a servant leadership, or being unstoppable. I mean, these are just some of our distinctions. And we actually have a class that we teach leadership distinction skills. This is the second thing that we do.
Is that part of the salons, or that's something else?
No, the salons are one thing, finding out people's concerns, and then the second thing is a leadership distinction skills. And it's a day class, and you come in, you can just, it's all experiential. I mean, you know, you can practice, you can talk about being transparent, but until you share with other people you're really transparent, it feels good to do that because you're authentic and the truth comes out, and you can say, you know, whatever you want, like, well, I screwed this up or I did that, but it doesn't matter. Well, what matters is that you tell the truth, and you tell the truth, you just feel good, and then people, you get total respect. And that's actually people, you'll actually become a leader. You know, you may not even want to be a leader, but if you come and take the distinctions class and you just start working some of these distinctions, you'll actually start becoming a leader because people will start following you or listening to you or taking your word because you're in integrity. People actually want to have a higher standard set in their life, right? People actually want a higher bar. Most people want to get away with going under the bar, but we don't want to have the bar there. And so I feel like in the last 10 years, the bar just keeps getting lowered. It just keeps, I mean, you know. Clinton gets a blowjob, you know, and then everyone lets him get away with it. Like, because maybe everybody wants to get away with that. But really, we want a higher bar. And so, you know what? We have to be the ones to set the bar and raise the bar.
And we feel it when...
What's that?
Yeah, we feel it when people are higher, in a higher level.
Oh, yeah. Your whole vibration is just so much higher. And we want to have everyone else, you know, be accountable. But, you know, for us to be accountable, that's really where the rubber meets the road.
You know, it's interesting. We've talked about, you know, without getting too far into it, how some leaders of today, quote unquote leaders of today, may not be able to make it in a place where the bar is raised, in a world where the bar is raised, right?
With the future coming up.
Yeah, with the future coming up, with this some kind of shift, whether it's an earthly shift or an energetic shift, or people just saying, no, we don't want that kind of a leader, some leaders might not be able to live in that new place or lead.
Yeah, I mean, the talk is, I mean, we just don't know what's happening in this world. We're reaching new heights and new limits, and shifts are happening. I mean, I personally just don't think that the greed and the fear will survive. I mean, this will actually die out. And the way we will make it as time goes on is just us being at the higher vibration. We'll be more intuitive. We'll know what to do. We'll know where to go. We'll live in total truth and honesty, integrity, and be present. Once you're present, I mean, anything can happen. You know, to be present actually is very, very hard, because really being present can be years and years and years of work. You got to get rid of all the baggage we're carrying around. So just to be present sounds so simple, but it's not. But when you're present and living in integrity, this will be the new leaders. And when I mean leaders, I mean every single person. So for anybody who wants to survive the upcoming shifts in the world, it's just stepping into your leadership.
You know, that's awesome, Kenneth. And I was thinking of something when you were saying this. It ironically ties into my monologue at the beginning of the show, where I had another relative who was similar temperament, but whenever the family, the extended family, would get together, this relative would find something to be angry about, and then would raise a fight and literally yell at the top of his lungs, and everybody would yell at the top of their lungs right back at him, and it would be just this awful thing. But interestingly, I never made this connection until you and I talked earlier today about this. And the connection I made was this, that as soon as somebody tried to bring peace, like, okay, how do we fix this? It was at that point that that particular relative who started that would leave the house, usually with the door slammed, and not come back. And the connection was made when you were talking today about this sort of thing, that maybe they couldn't go into that higher vibration. And since nobody stayed in his low vibration, the only place for him was out.
Mm-hmm. Out the door.
Out the door. And yeah. Don't let the door hit you where the whatever the saying is.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that to my consciousness.
Right. Or maybe that person just totally, you know, needed to be acknowledged or something. Who knows? I mean, you know.
Yeah, there's so many.
I mean, who knows what that situation was. But
yeah. Right.
But that's what we're doing at the One Love Fest. We have a whole new set of distinctions.
And actually, that's what we're going to talk about when we come back. I was going to say just now that up until now, we've been talking about leaders causing leaders, and that's happening in November here in Los Angeles. But even for those who can't be a part of it physically, there hopefully will be a way where you can be a part of it in somehow, and we'll talk about that as well. But Kenneth, you talk about that as kind of the headspace of working within your head. And you talk about One Love Festival as kind of working within your heart. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come right back with Kenneth Schwenker right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
We're back, and our guest today is veteran producer Kenneth Schwenker, who's also the co-founder of the Bhakti Fest and the founder of One Love Festival and Leaders Causing Leaders. If you want to learn more about any of these events, first of all, for Leaders Causing Leaders, you can go to exactly that, leaderscausingleaders.com. And for the Bhakti Festival, Bhakti spelled B like boy, H like Harold, AKTIFEST.com. That's BHAKTIFEST.com. And now we're back with Kenneth to talk about the One Love Festival, which you can also learn about at leaderscausingleaders.com. So, Kenneth, you were just getting
to the meeting. Well, you can also go to onelovefest.com. It's first, just onelovefest.com.
Oh, right. Onelovefest.com. Okay, good. So, what's this about the heart? Connecting with our heart.
Yes. Well, the One Love Fest is it's a festival, so there's tons of amazing music, and we'll have yoga and all sorts of other activities, from gong work to breath work and massage, and probably about 40 different activities going on. But the cool and main thing about One Love Fest is the distinctions that we'll be having when you come to the festival. You'll be working with our synchronicity guides, and you go through a little process of getting initiated through the tools of love. You'll be experiencing the tools of love, which means that our synchronicity guides will be working with you, so you'll feel acknowledged and accepted and appreciated. And that's kind of what love is. Instead of just talking about love, you'll be acknowledged, you'll be accepted, and then you'll get to share that with other people. And then every hour we'll have new distinctions from the main stage that we can get to work with, and that'll be called out. So we think this is going to work.
I like how you said that. We think this is going to work because this is the first year, and it's actually happening in a couple of weeks, June 9th and 10th of 2012 here in Los Angeles at this great space, which you can find at onelovefest.com or leaderscausingleaders.com. So, You know, when we talked about the two together, you were saying how people have a hard time sometimes either staying in their heart or connecting their heart to their brain, right?
Yeah, well, it's me particularly.
Whoa, that's honest.
I'm either thinking from my head or, I get very emotional and I have a lot of heart stuff going on. But my head usually wins out, and I get called on it all the time, you know. So the question is, how can we make actions from the heart, really from the heart, and then have the head be okay with it? Because the mind will always tell us something. The mind is always thinking and guessing and second-guessing and judging and condemning and being scared or fearful or hopeful or whatever. But the heart really always knows. The heart is like the intuition. So,
yeah. I would think that you probably do a little better than you know you do. It's interesting. One of the things that really endeared me to you, and I've seen you a couple of years at this event and that event. We see each other, we hug, we say hello, and that's all wonderful. But when we actually sat down, at one point you had a phone call and you excused yourself, but you sat on the phone. I knew who was on the phone because you told me and you said say hi. And so when you hung up the phone, there was this honest moment that I just saw in your face where you said, we got to help him. And in the meantime, you know, just before the phone call, you were saying how busy you were and how you didn't have time for this or that. And then, you know, you take the phone call and you say, we got to help him. There's so many people we got to help. We just got to find a way. And so to me, that was your heart saying, we gotta help, and then your brain saying, we just gotta find a way. If you ask me, the connection's there, my friend.
Wow, well, I forget who we were talking about, but I'm thrilled that you told me that story. It made me really feel good.
Yeah, I remember, and I can tell you offline, so. And I venture to think you've helped him and moved on to helping others, so that's why you're not thinking of it. Actually, I do know that you helped, so there it is. So I like this, that the Love Fest is going to be really centered around the tools of love, which sounds on the onset kind of hokey, but a lot of people don't actually know what love is or how it feels, which is sad.
You know, it's really funny. It's true. It's like people talk about peace, people talk about love, but there's actually tools to express love, and it's simply acknowledging people or accepting people, and there's exercises that we take people through, and you can do this with anybody, and it's so profound, and then people do it back to you, and before you know it, you're absolutely immersed in love, and those are the, you could, so one love fest, you'll be experiencing the tools of love. And we think it's going to get really juicy in there.
Okay, now that you said that, I have to say what I told you one time when I said, why does this feel to me like a throwback from the 60s?
Right, because the 60s and 70s were all about love and peace, and we kind of have that look to it, One Love, and Bob Marley is One Love, that song. So we'll be like that, except without the drugs. Like, we'll get to the love, but without the drugs. We'll do it heart to heart.
And so what's interesting, what also came out of that conversation between you and I is that it seemed like, I wasn't there, but it seemed like people were trying to get away from something. And you were saying, do you remember what you were saying on that?
No.
About how instead, not having the tools, they were trying to get away and using the drugs to get out, as opposed to us now looking at how we go within and connect all of this and use the tools, find the tools that we need.
Right.
It would just seem that people want to believe that, well, love is something, is something you feel, but unless you know where love feels, people can misunderstand gas in their stomach for butterflies. I mean, you know, if you just don't know, you don't know. Mm-hmm. Was that, did that analogy go over?
Kind of. I mean, I get what you're saying. It's just, I mean, to me, it just comes down to really learning these tools and practicing it and just seeing how effective it is and how powerful it is in the world to really be standing in the place of love. I mean, just acknowledging people for who they are is so, it's just mind-blowing. Because most people don't get acknowledged today for who they are. They, you know, we're so quick to make decisions on people for who we think they are.
Mm.
We all have our struggles in life, and we all have our struggles and the bills to pay. But you know, it reminded me of this. I was at the airport years and years ago, waiting for my my wife and daughter to arrive. And this was like, it was some airport out in the boonies, and I showed up, it was late, cold, and everyone was just kind of standing around, and people were just looking kind of grim and kind of a funny looking crowd. And I'll never forget this image when the plane pulled up, and it was one of these planes, they let people off, and they walk on the tarmac, and they walk up to greet the people. As the passengers walked up, the smiles on the people's faces at the airport, these old grim faces were just, they just lit up. Like, that love was palpable. It was just, it was so precious to see that.
Well,
it's right there. It's just a scratch below the surface. I believe everybody has a lot of love in them, and it's just repressed for some reason because we're fearful of showing it or, you know, being transparent or being vulnerable. But once we get through that, boy, it's right there.
You know, and that reminds me real quick of I used to say to my ex when we used to get into a fight, I used to say, I understand you're upset with me, but could you please not forget that I love you and we love each other? So please don't use that language and don't throw things, because later you'll regret it because you've temporarily forgotten that we love each other. So Right. Let's not ever forget that. Kenneth, this has been great. You know, for someone who said, you know, I don't know if there's that much to talk about on these subjects, there's all this and so much more. And I thank you for sharing from your heart what you have shared so far. Are there any last words before we go that you could share with us about any of these festivals or anything else you'd like to add?
Well, sure. June 9th and 10th, Los Angeles, One Love Fest, onelovefest.com. Just come and participate. We really, really, it's going to be a really amazing experience. Thank you for having me. Thank you for letting me speak and giving me the opportunity. You're doing great stuff in the world. So thank you.
You're welcome, Kenneth, and right back at you. And I know you want me there on the 9th or the 10th. I want to be there. I'm supposed to be gone all weekend, but I'm actually seeing if I can change something so that I can. But whether or not I am, Leaders Causing Leaders, I hope to be involved. So I hope to see as many people there in our audience that can be at either or both the events. So leaderscausingleaders.com, onelovefest.com, and then bhaktifest.com. And with that, we say goodbye to our friend Kenneth Schwenker and hope to have you back soon and do something fun together.
Great, thanks.
It's been a pleasure. Have a great Memorial, rest of Memorial Day. And we'll be back with Mark Lejeune and our producer's wrap right after this.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo after this great interview with producer Kenneth Schwenker, and this is the Producer's Wrap with Mark LeJure. Hello, Mark.
Hello, hello.
That was fun.
That was fun. Kenneth's up to so many great things, and with the, you know, his tenure in Hollywood and having done what he's done, and you know, being a proven executor, it's neat to hear his focus and positive intent across, you know, these projects, which are somewhat compatible in their overall agenda, if you will, but yet I have very unique approaches individually.
Yeah, and in a sense, who better? Because movies are all about stories and people and emotions and him dealing with, like I said earlier, actors and other producers, et cetera, et cetera. It's not easy, and you certainly learn a lot, and it's obvious that he has, and obviously he's good at what he does. So to bring that into this world of, like we talked about before, it feels kind of 60s, but there's a structure to it and there's a purpose at the end of the day.
Well, and it's so necessary. You know, we've kind of gotten used to, you know, we mentioned the Constitution being ripped apart. We've kind of become an accepting, society where things are just happening and people are so distracted by their own economic crisis or trying to get and find or keep a job and all these other things that they can't even imagine taking on the bigger issues that are coming. And so there's less and less of these types of environments being created. Now, of course, we expect that there'll be more and more, but there had been less and less for a period of time. You know, places for people that are having these discussions to go, where they would feel welcome and where they would have the opportunity to bring this to the forefront, where they would potentially learn tools and learn new habits and kind of get out of the monotonous material based existence that so many, you know, endure on a day to day basis.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when I say 60s, by the way, I'm not putting it down. I don't know enough about it to put it down. I really wasn't there, and I don't know. But I do know that to me it feels like something was started, and now something's continuing by taking the good of what was started and now taking it to another level.
Well, certainly the quantum astrology and numerology people all believe in this. If you're talking about an energetic shift, that, you know, that you look back to these movements, these waves of change, where, you know, the 60s and the love movement and more recently the freedom movement, you know, of many countries standing up and deciding that they want to be free, and whether it's free from oppression or financial tyranny or something, and they don't even know how to go about it, but suddenly there's this, you know, kind of ubiquitous itch that is being scratched, and people are wanting or needing to stand up and do something. And I think that points back to one thing that Kenneth said, and it reminded me of a story, but I think that's so important, is the fact that we don't have the many leaders to look to, the big luminary, you know, change agents right now, but that that's why it's so important that it's happening at the individual level, right? And yeah, that's what leaders causing leaders is people inspiring the leaders within others. And, you know, it made me think of two things, the butterfly effect.
Right.
You know, and how whatever small action we might be taking, we have no idea what ripple effect that's causing and who it's touching and how that may touch somebody else and that may touch somebody else and that may make all the difference on an event that touches millions or whatever the scenario might be. Knowing how things work. But it also reminded me of an event that I was at. There was a young boy during the intermission period that they would have, there was a live taping of a television show. And during the intermissions, they would have people come up and dance on stage and kind of get an opportunity to stand in front of this, 1,000 or so people in the audience and the music would be playing, et cetera, et cetera. And there was this young boy that came up and just happened to be standing right next to me. And you could feel his desire to run down that aisle and to jump on stage, but yet something was holding him back. And I reached my hand out and just barely touched him on the back, and it was like a slingshot. And that impacted me probably even more than it did him, because then I watched him on stage and the crowd going nuts as he was dancing and doing his thing and having his moment of magic. And I thought, I wonder without just a little bit of encouragement if he would have had that happen. And I think about how many other people, in this world are just needing that little bit of encouragement. And that's what we could be doing as individuals.
Oh, I like that. And in a sense, that's what Leaders Causing Leaders is doing, saying you are that leader, and you were kind of saying you are that guy on stage. Go.
It's very true. And if we're claiming our power back, right, because we've kind of given our power away to the brand, to the job, who we work for, to the government, to whatever, to some other purpose. You know, he may be a plumber and he wants to be a singer, and that singer may really want to be a plumber, whatever the case may be. People, are going to jobs just to work because they have to make the living and have to pay the bills. And so kind of going back to that claiming your own power and authenticity, and those are the moments where you can actually just really start to look within and start to explore what it is you would really like to be doing and owning that and stepping forward.
Yeah, I really like what you're saying, of course, and you're right. It's not, let's look at this person isn't doing a good job and that person, and sure, not everybody can be the president of the United States or somebody on that level to affect people. But then again, Mother Teresa wasn't, and look how many people she affected, to use that example. But it reminds me of 9/11. Whatever happened that day, whoever was at fault and all of that stuff, there were people that died, and there were people that were trying to help those people. And then there were people who couldn't actually go into the area to help, but they stood on the sidelines and they cheered the weary firemen who worked hours upon hours on end with signs and food and drink and all of that. And in a sense, it seems like such a small thing to stand and hold a sign. But I know for sure I was touched by it when I saw it, and I was in New York. But to imagine after working all those hours to come out to thousands of people holding signs, "We appreciate you, we love you, thank you, you're doing a great job," that must have meant the world to them. So at the very least, if our president isn't doing a great job, we can be holding a sign saying something that helps somebody do their job better so that something can change.
Well, in sports, what do they call that? I think the fifth man is what they call it, I think, where you're referring
to
the...
I thought they called it a cheerleader.
To the stand that too, right? The home court advantage, that energy of support, and now it gets back to what Kenneth was saying at the end, which is love. And there, I believe, is we are just now finally having some science step forward with the ability to validate a lot of what we haven't known about this thing called love, and where it resides, and how it transfers, and how it affects And, you know, there's pretty deep science about just simply what a smile can do in transference, in smiling at another person, and that will actually change their biochemistry, and they will receive that smile. And so you start to get into more of the new research on the heart, and the fact that we're realizing now that the heart actually exchanges more information to an exponent, and also exchanges information before the brain does. So that it is the center of this distribution of awareness, and then our brain starts to process. And so then it reminds me of what you and Kenneth were talking about in terms of the are you in your head or your heart? And I think so many people are in conflict there. That's what we do. We live in conflict of what we feel might be the case, but then what we think may or may not happen because of past fears, or may or may not have happened because of what somebody else will think about it, or, you know, what ramifications it may have at the office, or whatever other mental, construct gets in the way.
And you know, Mark, you're right on, and I think this is one of the hottest topics, can and should be in the world, because what you're talking about and what we're learning is that so much is affected from that place, that we can create so much more than from the brain. And I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot more about this on Monday with our guest, Greg Braden, who's a total expert on this subject, as far as I know.
Yeah, I can't wait to have this discussion with him. And you know, he is definitely one of the thought leaders in this area. I think that's the big difference between this movement and the first movement. The first movement was based on feeling and this kind of ethereal, wishful belief in love. Whereas now I think we're going to start to have a better understanding of what it truly is, and how truly to give and receive and live and accept love.
Yeah, sometimes I wish we had another word, because it's been either bastardized or woo-woodized or made sillyized, that I just wish maybe we had another word. But maybe I'll learn that that is the word. And kind of like you and I have been going round and round about life changes, how people don't want to change. It's interesting that we get so many comments about how we've helped them change their lives. I was just on Ken's website at leaderscausingleaders.com, and I saw a testimonial that looks a lot like one that was written to us, but it's from a different person altogether. But it says, just being there and connecting with all the amazing people is literally, and then in caps, life changing. And here we are.
I was on the site during the show, and I noticed that same statement.
Here. And with that, we are Life Changes with Filippo. And this has been the producer's wrap, as well as this has been the whole show. I thank you, Mark, as a producer and co-host of that segment. And also Dorothy Donahue for producing the show. And today's special engineer, Don Newson. I am Filippo Voltaggio, wishing you all a happy Memorial Day, as happy as possible for some of you with loss in your life. And I look forward to connecting again with all of you next week with Greg Braden. Ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time.